Isaiah 28, verse 16. Thank the Lord. I see Sister Serena. Amen. She's been out and talked to her. Amen. So we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Isaiah 28, verse 16. And the question, just had this question, I guess, to be the title of the message. What should I trust in? What should I trust in? You know, we got to trust in something, even if we don't trust people. You're going to trust yourself, but you got to rely on the strength of whatever you trust in. And God help us. Some folks don't even trust themselves. So, Lord help. You don't trust yourself. But what should I trust in? Isaiah 28, 16. Do you have it? Amen. If you don't, you can look up at the. Amen. And it says, Isaiah 28, starting just verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a stone that has been put through a test and has been proven trustworthy. He says a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a foundation that won't move. He that believeth shall not make haste. Let me read that again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. That's who said it. Behold, I, that is that same Lord God that began this sentence. He says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. That's a lot of stuff there that we can build upon. A sure foundation. He that believeth in what? He that believeth in the Lord God. He that believeth in the stone that the Lord has laid. He that believeth shall not make haste. I just want you to know there is already a foundation that is laid. And so when we look at this, we must realize that not recently, but this was hundreds of years ago, God just let the people know through Isaiah that he had already laid a foundation. It wasn't that when Isaiah was prophesying this, that God is saying, I am now laying. But he's just letting them know that there has already been a foundation that was already laid. So really you could just go back to this, that before the foundation of the earth was laid, this foundation that he's talking about was already there. And so I know it was about a couple of months ago, I preached a message about the wise man building his house upon the rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand. And so basically this is the same idea. And so you could connect that if you remembered anything from that message. We're going to kind of hit some of the same things. It's the same idea, is that what are we going to trust in? And so God is saying right here that really we need to trust in the foundation that has already been laid. Now, so then you may say, well, okay, Pastor, you kind of said you're trying to let us know about some things that's coming and some current things that's coming. And I understand about this foundation, but why do we need to stress about this foundation that has been laid? Well, there is a I don't want to be, I might as well, if I'm going to make you upset, I might as well make you all the way upset. There's a prophetess in the land. Hello. There's a prophetess in the land. She doesn't go by the name of a prophetess, but that is basically what she's operating in. But unfortunately, and I don't want to even say that it is intentional, she is a false prophetess. But I must say this, because I don't know her heart, but she is a false prophetess. I don't know if it's intentional or not. And I'll try as best as I can to give the benefit of the doubt. But a prophet or a prophetess in the biblical sense is one who is to share the mind of God, to bring the people of God into an awareness of what God wants them to do, and then to change their lifestyle according to the understanding of the God that they are supposed to be prophesying for and to be representing. So then, back to what I was saying, there's a prophetess in the land. And it's a message that is being passed, and it's really not a new message. I must let you know that everything that we think is new is not really new. What the devil does is he takes an old lie, puts a new coat of paint on it, puts a new roof on it, and calls everybody to come in and lodge there. Well, there's a new book, and I know probably you may have heard about it or heard something of it, or you will be hearing something of it. Oprah Winfrey, she does a lot of good stuff for people and helps out people, and we can't take that away. But I want to say this before we really get into it. We cannot be fooled that just because something or someone is helpful, even if they're genuine in trying to help. That's why I say, I don't know if it's intentional misleading or if it's just, I don't know. So the blind is leading the blind, but they both end up in the same place, in the ditch. And so we cannot be fooled. This is why a lot of people sometimes will get upset if you say certain things, because they identify with the good actions that a person does and assumes that just because somebody is being helpful and doing good things that help people, that they are in correct alignment with God's truth and are actually helping to promote what God really wants to do. Hello. And so I must say this, that, you know, Oprah Winfrey, she's promoting this guy named, she didn't write the book, but she is the door. Yeah, before I tell you about him, I need to tell you about what I mean by the door. We must always eat, and this applies for all of us. We are all a door for something. Hello. You may not be influential like Oprah Winfrey. You may not have the billions of dollars. Did I say that? A black woman got billions. Lord help. You know, we surprised because we're close to getting the first black president, but really that's been something that's been going on for a while. The first black billionaire woman. Lord help. But here's the thing. Each and every one of us is a door for something. But here's the thing. God says in his word that to whom much is given, much is required. So then if you're going to be a door for anything, you must be careful that you are a door that is letting in the right stuff. Whatever influence you have, in whatever area, with whoever area, with whoever person you have an influence with, you must be careful that you are using your influence for the glory of God. Not just to do good stuff. It's good to do good stuff, but we cannot be fooled that good stuff does not always mean that it is synonymous with God's stuff. Good stuff is not always synonymous with God's stuff. So I'm going to try, help me and pray with me. I'm going to try to keep this in the objective form where I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. That she doesn't know that she's a door that's letting in the wrong stuff. So she didn't write the book, but she's kind of embraced a whole lot. And this has been over years. She professed to grow up as a Christian. She still professes to be a Christian. Now, this is why I feel that I have to address this to the church, because we have to be careful when people say that they are Christians. It's not about judging whether they are or whether they're not. But if somebody tells you that they're a Christian, then it is our job then to not judge their heart, but judge to see whether the truth of what they say is being portrayed outwardly. It's not saying that if I just see you on the street, now I'm trying to judge whether you're a Christian. But now if you tell me you're a Christian, there ought to be some fruit that is in accordance with the word of God as well as the action. Amen. So then, Oprah Winfrey, she's promoting this writer, this guy, Eckhart Tolle. And I don't know if he's ever said he was a Christian. I don't know. I'm not interested in studying this. I try to get as much information before I say something as possible. But really, I did not even feel like buying the book to go through it to get all the facts. Because here's the point. When I looked at it close enough, I looked at it and I didn't have to even dig far to see what it really was. So I didn't even need to buy the book. Hello, because all that's going to do is go in his pocket. Hello. I wasn't going to get on the web class. Hello. All the rest of that stuff. They got web classes now. You can get on there every Monday. I shouldn't even say that, just in case somebody going to be interested. Let me see what they talk about. No, don't even need to go, because I can tell you exactly in a few words. But the book is called The New Earth. And it's interesting that a lot of people nowadays are pulling biblical terms out. Even if they're not saying they're Christian, they're pulling biblical terms out from the Bible, even pulling scripture out of context, out of the Bible, and trying to promote a doctrine that is not biblical and not Christian. They claim, both, Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle have claimed that basically that it is compatible with Christianity. I got a problem with that. Well, I got several problems, but the problem with that is, if it's not Christ-centered, it's not about Christ, the real Christ, how can you say something can be compatible with Christianity? Because then what that then means is that there is some other way that is close enough to Christianity to be another way. Something compatible with Christian. We're not talking about computers now. We're not talking about software. You know, whether you got a Mac or whether you got a PC, you can still get on the internet. God is not like that. Every doctrine, every teaching is not something that is compatible with what God says. We may think it is. Somebody may make it sound like it is, but it is not. And so we must be careful when somebody who is in an influential place claims to be a Christian. That's all I'm going to say. Claims to be a Christian, but then in the same breath, denying certain essentials. I'm not talking about secondary things. I'm talking about essential things of what God has said. I want to not use the word Christianity too much, because some people's mind goes immediately. As soon as you say Christianity, they think of, or the mindset is, an organized religion. Because we're not talking about Christianity in the sense of Roman Catholic or Baptist or some organization. We're talking about what God has given to mankind, that he says that I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten son, that whosoever. So in one sense, when Oprah Winfrey said that Christ did not come to bring Christianity, in one sense, she is correct. But in the context that she gave it, she was dead wrong. True. Christ did not come to bring a religion as we think it, as we think it. See, there's a whole difference between what we think and what God thinks. But Christ came to bring all mankind to God, but through him. And so then we had determined something is God. What God did was spiritual, but we had to give it a name so we could better give it to other folks. So we say Christianity or Christians because we are to be Christ-like. So then Christianity is nothing more than coming to God through Christ and then becoming like Christ. But now here's the thing. How can you, one person or people become like Christ if you change the rules of who Christ is? Or if you change the identity of who Christ is? And so here's where we are. It claims to be this book, you know, New Earth. And what I see here also is that this is different. What she's doing with this book is different than she does with her normal book clubs. You know, and so it's nothing wrong. I don't want to get folks, don't get bound up. If you in her book club or you like some of her books, fine. Some of the books may be, you know, good and they're helpful. But I think the devil has slipped in this heresy, and that's what it is. This heresy, along with a lot of other good stuff that has really helped people. So then it slipped in as if it's another thing that's going to help people get their lives together. But here's the thing. This is dealing with not just personal issues and getting yourself together and getting your mind right and getting over past stuff and all the rest of that. This stuff is dealing with things that will impact people's eternal destiny. So when you say it's compatible with Christianity, there's when the light bulb ought to go off. But then it's also touted as it's a new and fresh way of looking at spirituality. See, you got to watch nowadays, too, when people start using certain terms where they want you to look at the organized church or organized religions in general, but organized church as being something that is getting in the way, and that the real purpose for mankind is to just be spiritual. Now, the thing with that is, it's not difficult to be spiritual. But what are you talking about when you talk about spiritual? Or spirituality. Because the reason why I say it's not difficult to be spiritual, because we are spirit. Our nature is spirit. We are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But our essential essence is we are spirit. So that's how we contact and have connection with the spiritual realm. So we are. So it's not difficult to be spiritual. Matter of fact, sometimes, I don't want to say all the time, but sometimes when you are asleep and you have a dream, you are having a spiritual experience. But that spiritual experience don't necessarily mean you connected to God. Because if you have a nightmare, you know that ain't from God. And sometimes you have nightmares and it isn't because you ate the wrong thing before you went to bed. Hello. We are spiritual beings. So it is not difficult to be spiritual or embrace spirituality. And so the devil is a spirit. The devil is a spirit. So all this, you know, horns and red stuff and all the rest of that. No, the devil is a spirit. And so it is not inconceivable to think that the devil would want you to be spiritual, but he don't want you to be godly. Hello, somebody. He's not afraid of us being spiritual. He just don't want us to be godly. And so the devil wants to, and even the Apostle Paul, I think it was the Apostle Paul that said, don't think it's strange that the messengers of Satan have transformed themselves into angels of light. That means people that are really working for the devil portray themselves as if they're working for God. Because it's all spiritual. The weapons, the battle that we're fighting is not a fleshly battle. It is spiritual. Paul said also that the weapons that we got to use is not, they're not carnal. You can't pick them up. You can't hit somebody with, you can't cut somebody with this in the battle, in the real battle that we fight. You think we got a war on terror. No, that war over in Iraq, nope, that'll be all over. Hello. One way or another, either the terrorists is going to change their mind or we're going to run out of money. One way or another, it ain't going to last forever. Hello. But the real war on terror is what happens here. Because the devil is the real terrorist. And so he slips in stuff behind enemy lines and tries to wreak havoc. Hello. Something as simple as a new earth, a book. And it's funny that, and I really haven't looked too deep into the statistics of this, but it's funny that I would imagine, will you allow me to be a prophet right now? Okay. I picked up in the spirit that is probably more Christians who will read this book than the book that God gave. Hello. Read it, study it, underline it, memorize some stuff, have it down in their spirit. Hello. Why? Because the devil knows how to slip behind enemy lines and create havoc. I would even say a roadside bomb. He comes in, slips something down there so that somebody eventually will walk past this stuff and blow themselves up. It's a fresh new way of engaging in spirituality. But the real truth of the matter is, it is really just an old lie in a new package. You really want to know what the ancient term for this teaching is? It's new and it's fresh. Do you know it has another name? It has a whole nother. Everything that is out now has already been dealt with. Let me say this. Some people would even, and you'll probably even hear this, some people will say, well, this new teaching is a threat to the church. It's not a threat. It's just a challenge. A threat means that it's the possibility of something dying. Hello? If you threaten, that means that there is a possibility that you might die. So then this is not a threat to the church. Because Jesus already said that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. It is a challenge. But here's the thing about a challenge. A challenge, the nature of a challenge is it can break you or it can make you. It depends how you gonna handle the challenge. You can fold because the challenge seems too hard, or the challenge can actually make you stronger. So then I don't have any problem when people come up with crazy stuff and doctrines come up because I realize that it's when the false doctrines come up that it makes the Christian leaders, as well as we as Christians, have to dig deeper to know what the real truth is. So in a sense, the false doctrine actually help us become stronger. If we'll let it. So now, you want to know what this old, the old name, the old real name for this thing is? It actually is a combination of two things. See, the devil is slick. He didn't just repaint one thing. He kind of took a Volkswagen and a station wagon and kind of put them together. Look crazy, but he did something with it. This is actually the basis of this doctrine. We're going to go on further, but the basis of this doctrine is nothing more than what the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, what the Apostle Jude, what the rest of the apostles had was dealing with in the first century before even the first 100 years was over. It's called, actually, by two names. It's called the doctrine of Gnosticism. And I'm going to tell you what those are. And it is also a combination of Gnosticism and pantheism. Gnosticism, G-N-O-S. I didn't put it up there. G-N, the G is silent. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Thank you. See, we got to, always got to have a college student over there to help you out. I was never really good with visualizing the letters as you read across the sky. But Gnosticism, what that was, the book of Galatians is basically dealing with Gnosticism. Gnosticism is this. They believed they were a false Christian sect. They weren't really even Christian. They were just claiming to be Christian. And what they were saying was that Jesus Christ was not really God that came into the flesh. They just said that he was God in a sense that looked like he was in flesh. Because their idea was that matter was evil and that you had to shed yourself from matter or material things. So everything dealt with the mind. That's why it's called Gnosticism, because the Greek word gnosis, the G is silent, meant to know. So then they looked at it as salvation. Personal salvation was based upon you knowing the truth. Not a spiritual knowing, but that if you had special knowledge about something, then by what you knew, you could free yourself from the trappings of this world. Mm. So then the backdrop to that is this. You're not really responsible. Now we're talking about this false doctrine of Gnosticism. You aren't really responsible before God for the bad stuff you do. Sin wasn't really sin to them, because sin only dealt with the material body. But if you needed to shed the material body, they would basically say, oh, it's just my body that did it. God can't judge me for being in sin because I'm trying to transcend this material world. So there wasn't a sense of personal judgment from God. You could actually do whatever you wanted to do and basically tell God, oh, it wasn't me. The devil just got a hold of my body. Hello. And the other thing is pantheism. Pantheism, this is a combination of Gnosticism and pantheism. I'm simplifying it and I'm kind of oversimplifying it. But in order to really get to the meat of what we're looking at, the other side to it is a combination of Eastern mysticism and pantheism. Pantheism, the word pan means all. Pan means all. So pantheism, theo is God. Pan, all, theo, God. Ism is doctrine or belief. So pantheism is the belief and the false doctrine that all things are God. That everything that is created is God. And so then you then realize that and that's part of it. And I don't want to give you too much, but that's some of what's behind all of this living green. The Gaia movement and taking care of the earth. It's good for us to take care of the earth. It's good for us not to be wasteful. But you need to understand, it's something more behind this than just being responsible for the world. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to suck we Christians and church leaders into this whole thing also. Because the main idea behind the main pushers of all this, and I must say once again, is good. Please, let's start living green. Now, I got to say that because we need to, as Christians, be responsible for the atmosphere. That's really our job. But we need to be responsible for the atmosphere for the right reason, not for the wrong reason. The wrong reason, the pantheists are looking at it and saying, we must take care of Mother Earth, Mother Nature. Because God is not really to them God that is outside of all things, but their belief is that God is all things. So now, here we go. It's an old package. It's an old false teaching that's repackaged for new consumption. When I was in, when I just started back for my master's, and it was interesting that that Bishop Luter, who's the dean of the school, he said something interesting, and I'm passing on to you, is that the things that we see now, the false doctrines, they are, I'll say it again, the things that come up now are nothing more than what the church has already settled hundreds of years ago. Hello. Let me say that again. The stuff that we deal with today, the stuff that the devil is throwing out at us, that a lot of Christians are falling for, that sometimes we're afraid when stuff comes up because we think, you know, Christianity is in jeopardy somehow. But it's really nothing more than what the church has had to deal with and confronted and defeated hundreds of years ago. So look at this. Why are so many people leaving churches and going after these false things? And I'm not just talking about the New Earth, but I'm talking about all things, running after Kabbalah and science. Lord help Scientology. I ain't got enough money for Scientology. I'm sorry. I ain't going too high then. If the more money you got, the higher you go. I ain't going too far. Hello. Look, but there's several reasons why we, and this is what we need to identify personally. This is what we need to identify personally, as well as when we're helping other people. There's a lot of reasons why people leave and go off and get into some crazy stuff. You know, even inside of churches that are still saying they're Christian on the outside, but inside, the doctrines of a lot of churches have changed and gone into some dark places. But why do people run away from the truth and embrace a lie? Well, look, there's probably more, but I'm trying to keep a message on one CD. I'm trying. The one thing is an emptiness in the soul. Sometimes our emotions, we want something and we want it so badly. And if we don't have it, sometimes we will gravitate towards what looks like it will give me what I'm longing for. Hello. Sometimes we can know it's wrong, but if it looks like it's going to give me what I'm really longing for, I'll go after it, and I see the tail wagging underneath that sheep's clothing. I see the tail wagging. And I'm saying how white and pretty and fluffy you are. I see the brown tail. And I'm like this. Covering my eyes so I don't see that part. Hello. But the emptiness in the soul and not knowing how to fill it. And sometimes, here's the thing. Sometimes we will face an emptiness in the soul inside the church. Because what happens sometimes is and this is going to tie into one of the other things. Sometimes we're looking for something. We think we're looking for something spiritual, but we're really looking for something soulish. And when the church don't provide the thing for my soul, I then say that I got to find it somewhere else. Second thing. A desire in the spirit, but a lack of direction. Sometimes we can have a genuine pull in our spirit, but if we don't know the truth by way of our head understanding the doctrine, we will not know what our spirit is really looking for. Our spirit can be looking for one thing, but our head don't have enough doctrine to know what our spirit is really saying. You need to understand, we sometimes can be schizophrenic. Hello? And I'm not talking about where we need some pills or we need some drugs. I'm talking about God has designed us where we are body, soul, and spirit. And sometimes our soul and our spirit are not in connection with one another and we don't have a clue what we're doing. I only got two amens. Oh, I'm sorry. The rest of y'all know every time. Y'all know everything y'all doing. I will tell you as a pastor, sometimes it's been times where I was like, you know what? I don't know. I gotta sit for a minute until my soul and my spirit connect. I gotta find out, is my soul just going through something right now, or is my spirit trying to move into another place, but my mind and my soul haven't caught up to it? Where am I? Sometimes you need to sit still, not just do something and change for the sake of change. That's a good thing. We do need change. But change for the sake of change ain't no good, no time, no way. Matter of fact, thank you. That helps me go back to my text. The last part of Isaiah 28, that's where we're at. Isaiah 28 and 16 says, he that believes will not make haste. The biggest mistakes we can make is when we don't know what to do, or we think we know what to do, and we jump before we really check out what we're really trying to do. And so we make a move because we feel like I got to do something now. And sometimes that's exactly how we feel. We may not be shaking, but on the inside, we it's like a leaf in a thunderstorm. And so a lot of times people have a desire, the right desire in their spirit, but they don't have direction because they don't have doctrine. Now, doctrine is not a bad word, because doctrine just means correct teaching, what God wants us to know. It is spiritual, but it is also mental. And your mental needs to catch up with your spirit. And so sometimes there's a lack of direction in the spirit. So then what happens here is a lot of Christians will get turned into the wrong way because somebody has used Christian catchwords. I had to check my time. Watch out for Christian catchwords. New earth. Hello. This new thing. Well, it's not really new. It's not new. But you're going to hear it because I think Oprah said it. Christ consciousness. You've got to become aware. And you've got to become illuminated. Hello. Hello. All those big words. And in some way or another, you could probably find a scripture that looks like, watch what I say, that looks like it's saying that. This Christ consciousness. You must be awakened to see what. And when I read, now I must tell you, this almost blew me away. This almost blew me away. But when I read some of, I pulled up the thing on the internet and you just gave a little excerpt, and I'm gonna read some of. But some of what he was saying, whoo, the devil is shrewd. Some of what he was saying sounded just like the three dimensions of the will of God that I just finished talking about. It sounded. I mean, I said, wow. I would almost be fooled by this if I just pulled that one little bit out. And the last thing is, a lot of people are pulled into different things, false religions, all the rest of that. I'm going to try to move on, because they are disillusioned by things and disappointed. Sometimes we will say, we will think that we want God, but we really want something else. So when the church don't look like it's giving me what I want, and the church is really giving me God, and I didn't really know that I really didn't want God, and the church didn't give me what I wanted, now I'm disillusioned. So anything that looks like is going to give me what I'm looking for, I will go towards it and say it is God. Hello. This is why to know the truth is the main thing. Not just so you can be smart concerning the word, but because the devil is after your soul. Hello. He's after your soul. If he gets your soul, he gets your life. Hello. So then, look. I'm gonna run through this. These are some of the things that the devil uses to get us. He gets us caught up because we're external beings. We are pulled more by the external than the internal a lot of times. So the devil uses external stuff to try to keep us and grab us. So when there's a pressing need, when there's something on the body or there's something on the soul that we really want, we are more easily influenced by things that look like they're going to meet our bodily or our soulish or feeling needs. Like I said before, when our body is going through something, it don't necessarily have to be sickness, but when our body is going through something, sometimes we'll give in to stuff we know ain't no good for us. It's amazing that when people are starving or they don't have water to drink, they will know that the water is contaminated and gonna make them sick. But the thirst that their body's going through, they will run to dirty water. People will know that stuff is not edible, but if they are starving their body, they will run and grab something that they know they shouldn't be eating. Hello? When people are going through something emotionally, they will get caught up with some stuff just to feel that momentary need that they know. Hello, somebody raise their hand with me. Hello. Because when your feelings are out of whack, sometimes, and I'm not talking about in relation, I'm not just talking about relationship, I'm talking about a whole lot of stuff. We will go through some stuff emotionally and we will get hooked up with stuff that we know in our mind is not good for us, but we will get caught up in it because the pressing need of our soul and our feelings at that moment will make us act a fool. And so this is what the devil does. He gets us caught up in stuff because of external pressures. See? We believe that if we don't satisfy the external desires that we won't make it. At that moment, we all face a case of the spirit of the crazies. Hello? We all at some point face a case of the spirit of the crazies. Because at some split moment, we lose it. And we know, and we're talking ourselves out of it as we're walking into it. This ain't no good. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to stop this. And all of a sudden, bing, you forget everything. And you just walk smack dab into your problem that you was talking yourself out of. Hello. Because the devil knows that he catches us with a moment when we are weak. And many times, it's just a window. That's why the word of God says, if you submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee. Because it's only a small moment that we really gotta press in and trust God. And then the pressure goes. Hello. The problem is sometimes we can't stand on that tightrope for that little bit of time. While we trust in God and resisting the devil, we fall off. Hello. And so the devil is waiting on that. And so he uses those things to get us caught up, and then we can't get out. See, this is what the devil has over us. It's not so much the devil is going to jump in you. Hello. It's not so much of that. It's really the devil wants to be like the kid with the remote control. He's standing on the outside with the controller. And he's trying to find the right frequency that'll make you go left and make you go right. If he finds the right frequency, he can turn the wheels without even being on the inside. He can turn the wheels on the outside. Hello? What is your frequency? And sometimes you can have the frequency going. And I was wondering, sometimes I when I had my little toy when I was at younger, I wondered, and I think it was broke. And I got the thing going and I'm turning, but it won't move. But you know what happens? When the car is shut off, it's not receiving the frequency. It's the right frequency. But if it's not getting the frequency, if it's not receiving it, it's not going to move. Here's the thing. God wants us to press so much into him that at sometimes when we feel the devil and the enemy trying to pull on us on our weakness, we need to just shut down from the devil. How do you shut down from the devil? Get into your secret closet. Get into your secret place. Lord, cover me. Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, this pressure, I really want to do something right now, but this pressure's on me. Lord, hide me. Hello. Don't try to be strong, and that's where we lose it. We try to be strong, try to I'm supposed to be talking about New Earth. But sometimes that's what we need to do to not get caught up with all this stuff that's claiming to be the answer to what we really want, to what we really need. We need to shut down and say, God, I feel the pressure moving to take me in a way. Lord, hide me. Hide me so the frequency don't get me. Hello. This generation, what we're going through right now is the prime opportunity for false doctrine. Because of this. This, like I said it before, this time that we're living in, it's a challenge for the church. It's not a threat. It's a challenge. You know why? Because of what's going on now. There's so much sadness in the world. There's so much disillusionment in the world. People are so they're so beat down by the world's everyday life stuff. I was thinking about a million things that I really wanted to say, but life stuff that happens. And it seems like it's happening to more folks. What I'm saying is life seems like it's running over a majority of folks. I'm not talking about poor folks. I'm talking about even rich folks. Folks that had it going on, six figures, all of a sudden they without jobs. Hello. You got folks who are thinking about committing suicide over stuff that ain't even worth committing suicide. Who commits suicide over your girlfriend left you? Who commits suicide over you just lost a job? Hello, who? You got to wonder. It's more than just natural stuff going on. People right now are in a time where they want much but seeing little. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about people who love the Lord coming to church, but they're coming to church, but yet they're still feeling like it's so much that God has not done for me. It's so much that hasn't happened. So then the devil plays on that. If God is really real, I'm going to try this for a little while. I'm going to try this for a little while, but I need God to do something. If God is who he says, he need to come through. He need to do something. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying that's real. Hello. It's people, they say it's a statistic, but they say that it is a record number of preachers who are leaving the ministry. So it's not just the pew that's leaving, it's the pulpit that's leaving too. Because stuff that we thought should have happened, didn't happen, isn't happening, and don't look like it's ever going to happen. Hello. So this is the prime time for false doctrine. People are vulnerable and open to any answer. See, when you get desperate, you'll take anything. And we looking good, and we looking, I'm talking about the church in general. We looking good. We look like we having good church, good singing. We had a good conference and all the rest of that. Everybody was, looked like the whole joint was in collars. My wife said when she came in, she looked in, she's like everybody was in collars. Okay, but after the conference is over, how many folks are leaving? They had a good time. They just had an intermission between life. Ooh, whoo, write that down. Sometimes church can seem like just an intermission of life. It's not really that I'm coming because I think I'm really and feeling like I'm really getting the answer. The world has beat me down so much. I need to just push pause and come to church where I can get away from real life to fake life. Then go back out into real life and get beat up again. So church isn't the place for a lot of people. And this, and I'm saying this, I'm talking real now. This is why false doctrine is eating folks up. Because they're looking for any answer. I'm just coming to push a pause button when I come to church. Pause button on life. Pause button on my problems. I'm running from my bill collectors, and for some reason my bill collectors stop at the door. It's almost like the vampire. Hello. I don't have to think about no bills here until the preacher start asking for the offering. Hello. But look, quickly move on. Anything that promises to bring comfort will be accepted when you're vulnerable enough. There are multitudes of ideas and doctrines. You would not believe all the different things that people think and claim to be what's going to work for them or what's going to bring them happiness, what's going to bring them to God, all the rest of this. But really, the whole point is that people are looking for an oasis in the midst of chaos. Folks have husbands. Folks have wives that's overseas. They don't know if they're going to come back. Folks have daughters and sons. They don't know if they're going to come back. They've got cousins and brothers that they love dearly, and they don't know what's going to happen. You got folks out on the street. They don't know where their kids are. They haven't seen them in a couple of days. You got people that's on drugs. Don't know if they ever going to get off. They don't know if when the phone rings, that's going to be the person from the morgue calling and say, I need you to identify. There's chaos going on, and somebody is looking for just some answer. And so they're saying, if God is a God of love, how could he let all this stuff go on? And so here you go. Here you go with the doctrine according to Oprah. I was fearful to say the gospel according to, you know, I was fearful of that. And so I changed it around a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, come on. This is about truth. Many people order their lives by what, by whatever new thought or book that Oprah introduces. Come on. And people say, oh, when I read this book, it just changed my life. But how many people don't say the same thing about the Bible? Does it mean that whatever Oprah is promoting today has more effective power than the Bible? Well, see, the intentions, there I am. The intentions may be innocent. She may just want to help people, but she herself may not know the implications, the spiritual implications of what she is promoting, because that's that. Ooh, I don't know if I would really want to have that power. I may want that money, but I don't know if I want to have that power. Think about it. What type of power does this one woman have that if she just makes one mention of something, it goes to the top? A CD, she mentions it. She don't even have to have them play on the show. She can just mention it. The next day, it's on top. Next Oscar. Oh, yeah. Jennifer Hudson. She going to be the next. That's why I started off saying there's a prophetess in the land. Whatever she opens her mouth to prophesy. Hello. This garbage is on New York's bestseller, this new earth. And so many people are being sucked into it. I think the statistic was worldwide, over 2 million folks worldwide are either on her web class thing or book thing. Worldwide? Not just English speaking folks. When has it ever been that the world was thinking about a black woman? Hello? This thing is spiritual. I'm sorry. It's spiritual. Look. You can be innocent but still wrong. You can put arsenic in a candy bar, and you may not taste it because of the sugar and all the rest of that, and it may be innocent, but it's still going to kill you. Hello? It has eternal consequences. Everything that deals with the spirit has eternal consequences. See, the new earth is one of these wrong ideas. Look. I got, ooh. Second Corinthians. No, I just see how much more I got to do. So I got to move on. 2 Corinthians, write this down real quick. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Here the apostle says, he says, I fear. And see, this fear is not because of the fear that something is going to go terribly wrong or that the church is going to now go out of existence. But here the apostle was saying, I fear that it's some people who will be beguiled, who will be tricked down the wrong road. They weren't intending to move away from God, but because they didn't know any better, they were led astray. He says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, all these new doctrines want to make it as if this is something higher than what the Bible has to say. This is something deeper. And yeah, to some degree, the doctrines of God can be deep, but the basic thing is, it's so simple, even a child can understand it. Look, for if he that cometh preacheth what? Another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if he, or if ye receive another spirit. Is it some people, is it some Christians that's receiving Oprah's word more than they pastor's word, and they haven't missed a single Sunday of service? The pastor tells them to do something, they can't do it. Oprah suggested, not even calling them by name, not even laying hands on, not even praying for, but yet she talks through the tube, through the LCD, through the plasma screen, and they off doing it. Lest you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel. You need to understand that every gospel ain't the gospel. Which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him, or her, or them, or it. Hello? What is it? Another gospel here where he's talking about the Gnostics. There it is again. Galatians 1 and 6 through 9. But here, I'm going to run on. Here he says, he talks about, look, he says, it's not really another gospel because it's really not the gospel. But look, it says those who would pervert or twist the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of Christ, but they say it's the gospel of Christ, but they bend it and twist it. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, whoa, let him be, that's not a good politically correct way of saying stuff. If somebody preaches another gospel or another Jesus other than the one that we have, and it says that they remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine from the first century, they steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. If there is another gospel that is preached that's claiming to be the truth, the way, and the life, then he says, let them be accursed. That's how serious it is. So we need to pray. If Oprah Winfrey says she's a Christian, we need to pray because she's caught up. As well-meaning as how many ever millions of dollars she wants to give away, how many ever schools she wants to start over in Africa, that is good. It still needs to continue, but it's not giving glory to God, because if she's leading other folks away from the real gospel and the real God, all of that, she will end up this. And I'm serious about this. I'm not against her. I'm serious about it. We need to pray for her, because it would be a shame to do all of that and then stand before God and say, didn't I do mighty works in your name? Didn't I open up so many schools? Didn't I do all of this? I said I was a Christian, and then he said, I never knew you. And your billions can't get you into heaven. That's why we need to pray for her. And pray for everybody else that will listen to her. Hello. This is not Oprah bashing day. Hello. But it's serious that it is eternal consequences that are tied to this. Because he says, if you're doing that, you're cursing yourself. Look. New Earth. Yeah, old Gnostic gospel garbage. Yeah. Okay. Y'all can kind of jot that down. I gotta cut this off in about 10 minutes. All right. I gotta cut this off in about 10 minutes. It'll be fine. 10 minutes. No, where am I? Where am I on it? See, I got 7 minutes. Okay. I got 5 minutes here. All right. All right. Get another one. I'm gonna try to finish this. Cause I gotta try to stay on one CD, because I'm trying to put this on the web now. So, you know, I got to. Let me just read this. Y'all laughing cause you know I'm not gonna make it. Huh? Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna do it. I heard that. Look, here is what Tolle says himself. This is what Tolle says. So I'm getting off Oprah. Yeah, because this is going out on the web. Yeah. I'll be shut down. Look, he talks about enlightenment here. I'm just bring out what he says. And I want you to see how it could get some folks caught up. Look, he talks about enlightenment. He said it also implies a discontinuity in its development, a leap to a entirely different level of being, and most important, a lessening of materiality. Talking about life forms, all life forms have a being. So even a rock has a being. He's saying that basically a rock is like us, got a spirit of his own. And it says that the more we rise up in levels, we then become less material. Look, most crawling reptilians, the most earthbound of all creatures, have remained unchanged for millions of years. Some, however, grew feathers and wings and turned into birds, thus defying the force of gravity that held them for so long. They didn't become better at crawling or walking. They transcended crawling and walking entirely. So the implication is at some point we will transcend this mortal body. Kind of, you could then see how somebody could change that and say, well, see, that's what God is talking about. Our bodies will be changed. But it's not talking about God. It's talking about these creatures themselves are changing themselves. Then he goes on. Once there is a certain degree of presence of still and alert attention in human beings, perceptions, human beings' perceptions, they can sense the divine life essence, not God, but the divine life essence, the one indwelling consciousness or spirit in every creature. Every life form recognize it as one with their own essence and so love it as themselves. It's interesting. He says that as we become more conscious of who we really are, we then become to love the essence or the life force more. Not that God loves us, because his God is an impersonal God that does not love. He's just a force, or is just a force, and that we need to then become one with that force. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. The crux of the matter is we must understand that God has called us to come towards him, but we can't come to him on our own. He had to send his only begotten son to be the way, not just, as Oprah Winfrey said, to just show us a way, but he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only one. He says that no man comes to the Father except by me, not by a book, not by positive thinking, not by just thinking that all things are God and I've got to be now consumed into it. We must understand and be able to tell others that God is the one that will make this new earth, not us. God is. And we must be able to stand on it. We must be able to stand on it. And it's God that we need to trust. It's God that we need to trust. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you are our source. Lord, you are our source. You have created us. We are not our own, oh God. We have been bought with a price, God. Lord, help us, Lord, that whatever emptiness that we may have, whatever desires that we may have and longings, God, help us that we won't let those desires make us a candidate to be fooled by what is not a gospel, by a Christ that is not the Christ, by a way that is not the way, God. For Lord, we know know, Lord, that you have called us, oh God, and you've called us, Lord, not just so that we would be saved, but Lord, so that we could be a witness to other people, oh God, Lord, and that you will make the new earth, Lord, that we won't make the new earth, but Lord, that we will be instruments that you will use, Lord, that you will personally, because you love us and you know us, Lord, you are not some just divine essence or force, unnamed and impersonal God, somewhere off into never, never land, but God that you are intimately acquainted with each and every one of us, you know, and have numbered the hairs on our head. God, you know us, oh God, you know our ending before the beginning. God, you have seen us and known us all personally before the beginning of the world. God, you are the God that have called us to come unto yourself. And you are the same God that loved us enough to pay the ultimate price to send your son to die for us, oh God. Jesus is that foundation that has been laid. And so we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have laid a foundation that we can stand on, that if we're wise, we will stand on this foundation that will not move. It has not moved since before the beginning of time, God, and it will still remain to stand when time has ended and eternity begins. Lord, help us to trust you even more. Help us to be able to help others to begin to trust you for their real change, and that it's not a pulling off of everything and becoming nothing or part of the universal consciousness, but God, it's about becoming more and more fulfilled, because God, the more you impart into us, the more alive we become, and that we will pull off this mortality, but God, this mortality will be changed into the body that we was always meant to have, God, and that we will still remain to have that individuality and that uniqueness that you've always desired for us to have. And when all of our uniqueness come together and we're all singing the same new song, oh God, and giving the same new praise, God, that's when it will be said that the earth will become new. When you feel the earth, not because you are the rocks, not because you are the trees, but Lord, your spirit transcends all of this, God. And when your glory extends from one sea to the other sea, and all peoples, all tongues, all languages, all shades of color, all ethnic groups are all crying out, Jesus is Lord. That's when we'll have a new earth. And so we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.